The hour of recess has expired. The Senate is now back in session. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from the Missouri News Horizon, from KMIZ-TV, and KOMU have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of introduction of special guests.
Seeing no objections, introduction of special guests. Introduction of special guests. The chair would like to recognize our new senator, the senator from the 9th, who was sworn in at the very end of this morning's session. Let's welcome the senator from the 9th and look forward to serving with you. Further introduction of guests. Further introduction of guests. Seeing none, senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate Bills for Perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 113 and 95.
Senate Bills for Perfection on the informal calendar, Senate Bills 113 and 95. And the senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 113 and 95 with the committee substitute be called from the informal calendar and be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Polk.
Mr. President, I move that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bills number 113 and 95 be adopted.
Senator from Polk, would you care to explain those Senate bills?
Thank you, Mr. President. What this really goes back to, this goes back to an event that happened probably more than a year ago. For most of us that we know in this body is known as Proposition B. For a lot of the people inside the state, it is also called the Puppy Mill Cruelty Act, that the name was given to this Proposition B. I want to just start off with just a little few facts about Proposition B. When Proposition B first came out to the state of Missouri, it polled as high as 80% in the state of Missouri. That is rural, that's urban, that's plumb across the state that it polled with that high a number. And I think it's for the important for the body to understand as the year went on and more people understood what was all was in Proposition B, it passed the state by less than 1.6%. So basically, once the voters learned more and more about the issues that were in Proposition B, it started falling like a rock. I might also add that over $6 million were spent on the initiative petition process on Proposition B. Mainly, the majority of that money was spent in the urban areas to send out a message. And for the body to remind them, I'd like to read the first paragraph on the ballot initiative, and it read as follows. The purpose of this act is to prohibit the cruel and inhumane treatment of dogs in puppy mills by requiring large-scale dog breeding operations to provide each dog under their care with basic food, water, adequate shelter from the elements, necessary veterinarian care, adequate space to turn around and stretch his or her limbs, and regular exercise. And I would say to anyone in this Senate chamber, to anybody in the upper galleries, to anybody that's listening today, that we all agree with that paragraph, if that was in truly the intent of what Proposition B was about, which I don't believe it was. I believe Proposition B was an attack on a selected group, but I also believe that Proposition B was an attack on Missouri agriculture as a whole. And let's talk about what is a puppy mill. And if there is such a definition in the state of Missouri, I don't know what that is. But I will tell you what I believe most people think of when you think of a puppy mill. You think of an old house, an old trailer house, an old shack, people that don't know how to operate a business. You think of dogs and chicken coops. You think of wire cages with not adequate space. And you think, when you hear the word puppy mill, the worst of the worst is what you think. Now, whether we like the dog breeding business or not is no reason for any of us to shut down an entire industry. So let's talk about the dog breeding industry. Let's talk about who those people are and what they do for the state of Missouri. First of all, let's talk about it being a $1 billion industry. Let's talk about it employing more than 1,000 people across this state. Let's talk about them spending millions of dollars on dog food, vet supply, utilities, not to mention their taxes, not to mention them being good members of our society and their communities. Every year when we come to the state capitol since I've been here, we've talked about the economy, the economy, the economy, what we've talked about. And we do all kinds of legislation to try to spur the economy in the state of Missouri. But yet, Proposition B and what we're doing by allowing this to go forward without changes, we are shutting down entire industries in this state, which I don't believe any of us believe in, no matter what our party affiliates are. I believe everybody has a right to be in business in this state. Let's talk about what this industry does, which I learned as I go dealing with Proposition B. But for this industry, supplies 25 to 40% of the puppies in the United States. 25 to 40% of the puppies in the United States we supply. Which, what does that mean? That means children, families, individuals, seniors buy pets from a pet store that are produced and raised in the state of Missouri. And I do not think that that's looked on as a bad thing. I think that is looked on as an industry that has a quality product that they can sell across the United States. And I think people need to understand that, you know, on that. So let's talk about Proposition B. Let's first of all talk about one of the main issues in Proposition B. Proposition B, to the most people in this state, was about dogs. I don't think there's any question that was the intent. That's what they were trying to show you, that this is about dogs. But let me refer to one sentence in Proposition B. And I don't believe it was put in there by a mistake. I believe it was put in there for a reason. I believe it was put in there to control the state agriculture in this state. And let me read that sentence to you. It says, pet is defined as a domesticated animal in or around your dwelling. Now, let me tell you in layman's term what that means. That means if you have a horse, if you have a cow, if you have sheep, if you have hogs, if you have chickens, and they're around your house, you fall under Proposition B. That's what that says. If we were talking about dogs, why did we not just talk about dogs? Why did we put such a sentence in there? Again, pet is defined as a domesticated animal. That takes them all in. That just don't take one special one. Why would we ever, the number 50, limit to what the private sector can buy, sell, produce on the open market? I don't know of any time that we've done that, and maybe there is times that I can't think of them, but I don't think we do that in the private industry. I don't think we go down here and tell Senator Kehoe that he can only sell 50 cars.
We do not name senators' names on the senator, on the Senate floor.
My apology, Mr. President.
Proceed.
But we don't. If you're in the car industry and you're selling vehicles, we don't limit what somebody can buy or sell. If you're selling cell phones, we don't tell you how many number of cell phones you can sell. And if you were in that industry, if you were in the dog breeding industry, and you met every provision in Proposition B, if you met all the requirements and you own 60 dogs instead of 50 dogs, you have committed a criminal act. Is that really what we're wanting to do in this proposition? Is this what people really want? That would be the only thing. You could follow every regulation in there. You could do everything it requires you to do. And because you have 60 dogs, you are now violating the criminal codes of the state of Missouri. You could also look at people that have a bank loan, or even they're landlocked on their own land. Let's talk about a bank loan. Let's talk about you have an industry that you own 150 dogs. And you went into your bank, and you went in there, and you presented a business plan to them. And you said, I'm going to borrow X number of dollars to run my business. And you sit down with your banker and he says, okay, how are you going to pay this back? Well, I'm going to raise so many pups a year. I'm going to sell these pups on the market. And that's how I'm going to pay you back. That's how I'm going to pay the bank back. I don't know of any other time in the state of Missouri that we as a government are going to shut somebody down on that simple principle. And that's what we're asking to do here. That we're going to shut those individuals down from doing something that was approved, that they started under the laws of the state of Missouri, that they went to get a bank loan, and they met every requirement they're supposed to meet, yet here we come as government, and we're going to shut them individuals down. I know of no other instance we do that. Maybe there is, maybe there's not. Also in Proposition B, there is square footage language in there. And I want you to listen to this as I say this. A medium-sized dog, if you had 50 of those medium-sized dogs under Proposition B, and those dogs each had 5 pups, which is very likely they could, in a year's time, you would need a facility of 11,000 square feet. Now, I want you to think about the houses you live in. And how many of you live in 11,000 square foot facilities? But that's what it would take for a medium-sized dog. Not a big dog, not the small one, but for the medium-sized one. And let's imagine you have this business going on private property, on your property, and you're already at the boundaries. You can't expand anymore. You're at your limits. It's not that simple just to change it. What do we do with those people? To try to put it in a maybe arena where most of us are not at dog kennels or not at dog breeding facilities, let me tell you what Proposition B, what I believe it does, in layman's terms. If you go to your local grocery store, and you were to go down there and you tell that grocery store owner, you're going to have to triple the amount of floor space you have in your grocery store. You're going to triple the floor space you have in your grocery store. But there's one catch. You can only sell a third of the product that you had in there. That is the same thing we're doing to legitimate businesses in the state of Missouri by doing what we're doing today in this proposition. Let's talk about climate control in Proposition B. The climate control in Proposition B says that you must maintain a range of 45 to 85 degrees. I will tell you now, we don't do that for our senior citizens facilities. We don't do that for our schools. We don't do that for the state capitol that we're sitting in today, making a law what the range and temperature of this building is. We don't do that. But yet, in Proposition B, if you were to go above or below that, you're a criminal in the state of Missouri. It is a crime to do that in the state of Missouri. Why did we use the name Puppy Mills? Why was Puppy Mills, the Puppy Mill Cruelty Act, why was Puppy Mills on the ballot, and why are we talking about Puppy Mills? Let's face the facts here. The puppies are normally shipped out and gone within 3 to 4 weeks of being born. They're not the ones that stay in the facilities. If you really want to know the people that, the dogs that we should be protecting, is the breeding dogs. They're the ones that stay in the facilities a lifetime. They're the ones that are there day in and day out, not the puppies. I say to you, the reason the puppy mill language is in there, because it's one great emotional issue to go after in the state of Missouri, and that's why they use the language puppy mills on that. I truly believe this puppy mill language is about shutting the entire industry down. I don't believe it's controlling bad operators. I believe you're trying to shut an industry down, and I believe it's being trying to be shut down by outside influences that are coming into the state of Missouri with their financing and with their money. I think it's important for everybody in the Senate to know one thing out of this that's a key point. The Department of Agriculture, who inspects these facilities now, I want you to listen to me on this. Not one of 1,400 licensed breeders in the state of Missouri, not one can fit in Proposition B. None of them meet the guidelines of Proposition B. Not one. If you're familiar with dog kennels, and let's talk about Blue Ribbon Kennels, the best of the best in the state of Missouri. That's the one maybe some others are familiar with. Do not meet the requirements in Proposition B. Not one out of 1,400 meet that. And let's talk about where the real problem is. Last year, the Department of Agriculture rated 76 facilities, 76 of them, from across the state that they impounded animals. 61 of that 76 were unlicensed breeders in the state of Missouri. Proposition B does nothing, not one iota, to go after unlicensed breeders. Absolutely none. Let's talk about another thing that I think is a huge problem in Proposition B. And let's talk about the punishment provisions and trying to adapt the criminal code to regulatory business. And I will say this of having a law enforcement background. I'm sure no expert in the criminal codes, but I think I have a good knowledge. I have a good knowledge of how they're enforced, and I know what a definition of criminal codes are. I know what the definition of stealing is. I know what the definition of armed robbery is and the elements it takes to prove those offenses. The entire breeding kennels in the state of Missouri, the 14 licensed breeders to this point, have been regulated by a governing body through rules and regulations, which I believe that's where they should be, through the Department of Agriculture, through the USDA. And what we tried to do, and as we go through this, I want you to listen to this, as we go through this, you're trying to take something that has had rules and regulations as oversight, and now you're going to try to adapt the criminal codes of the state of Missouri to that. Now, you think of that in the school systems, you think of that in your nursing homes, and you think of what you're trying to do today on that. And let me give you an example. If a dog is eating food, and for you that have pets like I do, if a dog drops food in the water, you have committed a criminal act under Proposition B. That's not me being over-exaggerating about that. That is a fact under the criminal laws. If there is debris in that water, whether it is a stick, whatever it might be, that is a criminal act. And people are going to get charged for that crime, and people are going to go to jail for that. Now, if you believe in our basic constitution, if you believe in our basic rights, I don't believe this body wants to send people to jail for those kind of offenses. I do not. And I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, I don't think those things are right. Let's talk about climate control again. The range now under the regulations, which is a current regulation under the Department of Ag, 45 to 85. That is the recommendation temperature that you keep kennels under. It's under their guidelines. Okay, that's fine when you're regulating that and an inspector comes by and they look and they say, okay, you're pretty well there. You know, if something happens, they can make that adjustment. You have tried to put climate control under the criminal statutes. Now, what does that mean? That means 2 years ago, we're at my hometown, we lost electricity for 7 to 8 days. If that temperature would have dropped below 45 degrees and I had a kennel at that point, I have just now committed a crime. Doesn't matter what the reason, doesn't care whether your central heat's out, doesn't matter. The law says if it's below 45, it's a crime. And you're going to be charged with the crime, is what the law says. The people that wrote this language are people that have no idea of the process that we go through every day, that we go through the committee process, that we work these things out. We have research people. We have people that understand the criminal codes, how you adopt that into regular law. The people that wrote this, I guarantee you, did not. And I'll give you another reason on climate control. If a dog has pups, many, many times the pups have to be at a heat range of in the 90-degree bracket. So many breeders will take them pups and they'll put them under heat lamps. And they will increase the heat so those pups will survive. If you do not do that, the pup dies. That simple. Proposition B says that you cannot get the temperature above 85. That's the law of the state of Missouri, is what Proposition says. So if you do that, you have committed a crime in the state of Missouri. There's no question of that. There's no doubt about that. That's what it says. Currently, under the rules and regulations, you could have an inspector go in there. They could see that the dog had pups, and the pups are raising the temperature under a vet's guidance, and they're going to say, okay, we understand. You got the facility going pretty good. But we didn't do that in Proposition B. We made the law. And tell me something. What is a definition of a solid level surface in the state of Missouri? Because I will assure you what we believe in Southwest Missouri is much different than maybe St. Louis, Kansas City, or northern Missouri. A solid level surface. In the criminal codes, there is no definition of that. So now we got to define that. And who's going to define that? Well, I'll tell you who will define it someday. The judges will across this state. Around this state will decide what a solid level surface is. There is no definition of that in the criminal codes of the state of Missouri. You can put the same emphasis on nutritious food. If anybody knows what nutritious food is in the criminal code of the state of Missouri, I'm more than happy to hear that definition. Now, if you want to talk about regulatory, what we do for nursing homes, schools, and what we describe as a nutritious food, but the criminal statutes does not define nutritious food. It's not in there. And I don't know how in the world you ever begin to enforce something that I don't believe constitutionally you can enforce anyhow. Another point that's in Proposition B, it says that you will have some protection against sun, wind, rain, and snow. Now, that's a pretty common sense statement when you're talking about regulatory bodies. But now that's in the criminal code. So what is some protection? Who gets to decide that? The difference between some, maybe some enough, some not enough. I don't know how you define that, nor do I know how you enforce that in the bodies in this state. And there's one, and the thing on the law enforcement issue. Your first violation of food in the water, thermostat not getting below or above, solid level surface, and all these things. Your first violation, no matter which one it is a Class C felony. If there's two violations on one visit, it goes from a Class C to a Class A. So the first violation is a Class C, which is $300 fine, I believe, 14 days in the county jail. The next one's a Class C, which is a $1,000 fine, a year in the county jail, is what it is. Now, let me tell you this, if I can put this into where most of us can put it in more. If you run through, and for the rest of your life, is a Class A misdemeanor, you never go back to a Class C. You could do the best of the business for 20 more years, and because you've been charged one time with a Class C misdemeanor, you'll now be charged with a Class A misdemeanor for the rest of your life, is what you'll be. If you run through a stop sign when you leave the Capitol tonight, and you get charged with a driving offense, you would be charged with a misdemeanor, and you would pay your fee. But if you really believe for the rest of your life you should be charged with a Class A misdemeanor 30 years later for something you did back then, that's what this is in Proposition B. That's why I believe there's a huge constitutional problem within Proposition B. If we do nothing to fix this, if we sit around as legislators and we do nothing, then I think we know these things are faulty in Proposition B. And I think it is our job to figure out a way to try to fix them. I think there's many things in Proposition B. I personally believe a lot of people across this state did not know what all was in Proposition B. I think most everybody was trying to help a poor, defenseless animal. But now, the state of Missouri is starting to learn what all is in it. We as legislators are starting to know what was in it. And I don't think Proposition B was about trying to save some animals. I think Proposition B was designed to destroy an entire industry, is what I believe Proposition B was all about. So how does Senate Bill 113 and 95, how do we fix it? How do I do a better job? How do we as legislators do a better job? Well, let me explain how you do some of those things. First thing we do is we take off the 50-dog limit. Nowhere before do we do that. No other laws do we limit to what the private sector can buy, sell, as long as the market bears it. And they're doing everything within the laws. We eliminate the criminal provisions, and we put them back where they belong in a regulatory process, especially on the food, the water, square footage, things of that nature has to be back in the regulatory process. And let's make it clear in this bill that we're talking about dogs. If you want the ag community as a whole to understand this is what they want. We are talking about dogs. Proposition B is about dogs. It's not about domesticated animals, nothing else. And that needs to be taken out of that bill. And let me tell you something else I do. I've really tried to get, I'm working with both sides on this issue, trying to get to a point where we really do something to help animals. We help dogs, is what it was. Not to shut them down, but how do we really make life better? Because this process is going to go on. Whether it's legal or illegal, this process will go on in the state of Missouri. One of the things that we did in this bill is we require 4 inspections. That basically means you're going to have a vet going through there twice a year, and you're going to have the USDA going through there once a year, and you're going to have the Missouri Department of Agriculture going through there 1 year. That's 4 times people are going through your private facility to check to make sure you're doing things right. And I would hope, with that much intrusion in your private business, that's enough requirement for anybody to be able to make sure that you know what you're doing is right. And I believe you will catch the majority of the bad people by doing that. The other thing we do is we go after the unlicensed breeders, which was never mentioned in the original proposition. And we give the Department of Agriculture the tools they need to target these unlicensed, unregulated facilities. We give the Department of Ag the ability to refer cases to local prosecutors and the Attorney General. We allow them to view the sale and bet records, which they can go in and look at those records and find out who's running a good business and who's not by looking at their records and knowing what animals are selling, and to have a trail if someone is out there forging documents or selling bad animals. We give the Department of Agriculture the ability to hire more inspectors and investigators. And we make sure an unlicensed breeder faces stiffer penalties for not being regulated. Again, the unlicensed breeders in this state is the problem. Those are the people we need to go after. Those are the people that we need to have stiffer penalties and stiffer crimes for. Senate Bill 113 and 95 is a reasonable reform of this industry that eliminates the bad operators, the unlicensed breeders, and puts the care of the dogs at the forefront. With that, Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute.
Senator, please send the Senate substitute forward.
Mr. President, that Senate substitute has been distributed.
Need your signature. Need your signature on it. Okay.
Madam Secretary, please read the Senate.
Okay. Move the adoption.
Senator, would you ask for a waiver of the reading?
I do.
Senator from Polk requests a waiver of the reading of the Senate substitute, seeing there are no objections. The reading will be waived. Would you like to move the adoption of the Senate substitute?
I do.
Okay. Senator has moved the adoption of the Senate substitute. And now would you like to explain the substitute?
I do, Mr. President. The Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 113-95 changes the name, what it should be about, from the Puppy Mill Cruelty Act to the Canine Cruelty Prevention Act. It modifies the definition of necessary veterinarian care by now requiring two personal visual inspections each year by a licensed veterinarian, require a physical inspection by a licensed veterinarian. During a routine visual inspection, a veterinarian detects signs of disease or injury to a dog, requires the veterinarian to provide guidance on preventative care, normal and prudent attention to skin, coat, and nails. It modifies the definition of regular exercise by requiring each dog to have an exercise plan that is approved by a licensed veterinarian that shall afford maximum opportunity for outdoor exercise. It also allows the Department of Agriculture to refer repeat violations of the Animal Care Facility Act or the Canine Cruelty Prevention Act that have not been corrected, and that includes operating without a license, to the Attorney General or local prosecutor who may bring an action or a restraining order, injunction, or remedial order to correct violations, and a court may additionally assess a civil penalty of $1,000 per violation. Requires any dog is in stacked cages without any impervious barrier between the cages, except when cleaning the cages is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. And this was a huge issue on each side of the aisle, that something has to be between those cages, and I think this is a good provision in the Senate substitute that takes care of that problem. And for the people that do not do that, it's a Class A misdemeanor, which is a pretty severe penalty. It requires any breeder to retain all veterinarian and sales record for the previous 2 years. It modifies the definition of sufficient housing, by requiring a dog have a solid surface to lie down on, a dog to be removed from its enclosure while the enclosure is being cleaned, and compatible grouping of dogs are housed together. It removes the cap on the fee charged by the Department of Agriculture on a licensed breeding operation from $500 to $2,500 and assesses a $25 annual fee to be used for the Operation Bark Alert, which basically means we're going after unlicensed breeders. Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The Senator from Polk moves adoption of the Senate substitute. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from
St. Francis.
St. Francis.
Inquire the bill sponsor.
Senator from Polk?
I do.
You yield.
Senator.
Proceed.
Senator? I was telling the guys over here that was the second longest introduction I've heard in 5 years. They had a PQ petition, you know, back here signed halfway to just get you to go on, but I
You never know when you're a rookie.
No, but you were on a roll. Nobody wanted to stop you. I was kind of reminded me of Jim Belushi in Animal House. We were in the, don't stop him now. He's on a roll. Am I still a sponsor of this bill now that it's a committee substitute? Or, I mean, it's a floor substitute?
What was the question, Senator?
Am I still a sponsor of this thing?
Well, I hope you are.
You know, I hope you're
supportive of it.
I was telling the senator here that I'm kind of stuck. I keep getting these emails wanting to know if I'm going to vote for this thing. I said, well, I guess so. I'm a sponsor. But since they're standard issue, somebody send this in type thing, and no one's really called me from that end of it and told me. But you've talked to some of the groups. Some of the groups that you're imposing these laws on can't be happy with these veterinary provisions and other things that you've put in this sub.
That's correct.
Have you talked to them?
I have. I have talked to both sides. I've talked to the veterinarian industry, trying to come up with a compromise as much as we could on this legislation.
I mean, I can't imagine any of them wanting to do a exercise program for dogs. I don't know. Is this the Jack LaLanne answer here? I mean, are we going to have written? No one has defined what that program is. Or are you looking for just something to make sure they're not in the cages 24/7?
Yeah, I think what you would do is I think the owner would probably develop an exercise plan, and the vet would be signing off on that plan
and show that they were doing it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the problems that we've had in this industry, we have not had very much inspection from actual state inspectors. It sounds like you've actually are putting more things in and more hurdles and hoops that they have to go through in order to protect the safety of the dogs.
Well, and I think that's an excellent point, Senator, and that's exactly what we're trying. We're trying to go after the core of the problem, and the core of the problem is enforcement. That's where we need to try to do a better job at, and we're trying to do that in this bill.
You know, a lot of this argument that I've heard so far is, do you know we are the largest dog breeders in the country? Well, yeah. You don't like dogs?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what we should show is we want to be the largest discipline breeders, the ones that have the most care about the breeding, but we want to be known around the country as the best breeders in the world. I like dogs. Don't you like dogs?
Sure, I
know. The senator that just handed you the note, you know, is a veterinarian. He likes dogs, but my veterinarians tell me that the plan that was passed by in the ballot is not a workable solution.
That's true.
It's just not. All it's going to do is put undue on the good providers. We want to make sure that the licensed providers, their plan in your bill ensures that these dogs have proper care and are healthy.
And that's exactly
And then we need to enforce the bad players out of the market.
That's exactly right.
We need
right.
to get rid of them.
That's correct.
But just imposing bad laws on good providers doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have a good provider and he's a good provider at 48 animals, why is he a bad provider with 52 animals?
Exactly.
You know,
point, Senator.
Do we do that in any other industry that you know?
I'm not aware of any we do.
Okay, you can only have 12 bowling alley lanes. 14 is too many. You can only operate 14 and be able to 12 and keep your restrooms clean and things. So we're saying if you do this in your bowling alleys, the senator from sit down Southwest Missouri, you can only have 12 lanes. You can't have 14. Even if you can run an operation that keeps your facility clean with 14, you know, you can only see 12 pets a day as a veterinarian in Rolla. Only 12. Now, you may do a great job at those, but we have put a limit that you can't see 16 or whatever. You can only do that. I don't know of any industry we do this in. If someone is a good operator and they've had a good record and they've done the things you've talked about with the veterinarian, we should be proud that their dogs are being bred in Missouri, and we should support those good breeders, not impose bad laws on them. I appreciate your effort. I appreciate your willingness to work with both sides on this. I'll be supporting it, even if I'm not a sponsor on the floor sub, and I wanted to tell you that Winston said he two paws up.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr.
President. What purpose do you rise?
I rise to inquire of the Senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed. Thank you very much, Senator. You've obviously worked very hard on this, and I, for one, really appreciate your long explanation at the beginning because I was listening very carefully to it.
Thank you.
But I have one main question. Let me just start with the people in my district voted higher for dogs than they did for me to be a senator, so I'm very sensitive to their strong feeling on that. I was following you carefully, but I didn't catch one thing. Is there, what is left in Prop B? In other words, of all the provisions in 113 and Prop B, what is still totally intact of what was passed in Prop B?
I think a lot of things that we put in the substitute about veterinarian care, was that was part in Prop B. That was part of it. We've just revitalized that. You still have an exercise plan that was in Prop B. You basically took the criminal code out in Prop B. Everything's still in Prop B. The regulatory is on.
Mr. President, I'm sorry, I can't hear. Okay, go ahead.
We'll have order in the chamber.
Like the climate control issue and the food and all those things are still there. They're just not under the criminal codes. They are under the regulatory process of it.
Okay.
It would be some of the things that come to mind.
Is there anything totally that didn't change at all? I mean, I know under the exercise thing, I hear what you're doing on that, and it's changed some. Is there anything totally intact that didn't change at all?
Senator, could please ask the question again? I didn't
hear
you.
Okay. Is there anything totally from Prop B, any provision of Prop B, that 113 did not change at all? In other words, what I'm trying to look at is what in Prop B is totally intact that was passed.
Senator, I'd probably just have to sit down and look at it, and I'm not gearing my mind right there for that right now, but I would just have to look at that and see.
Okay.
But I think most of the provisions in Prop B, as we say, the majority of it is still there. Most of it has went from a criminal side back to the Department of Agriculture, you know, that's in there. I'll try to kind of work on that maybe while I'm talking or something
right.
And think about it. But
I mean, I know you were looking at it from the opposite angle of what was changed.
I will tell you this much for you as a senator and for the people in this chamber. I have worked for months on this with all sides. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you that the other side is not going to agree with everything in this amendment. But we have worked and tried to get through this thing as far as to make it a workable proposition that the people voted up. And I know the issue is out there where people voted for this. Changing the will of the people. I mean, I understand that argument there. But I think you also have to realize, or I think we should realize, that our job sometimes when we know something's wrong is to correct it and to change it. And I know that's tough sometimes. And if you really took out, I think, the emotional issue on both sides of this, whether your district or my district, and probably pretty close to the opposite scale, I would say, on how we voted. But if you took out the far right, the far left people on each side of this issue, and you really looked at the true people, the everyday average person, if they understand what all's in here, I think the common sense will prevail at the end of the day, and they will realize, I believe, that we're doing what we should be doing as legislators.
Okay. If you do think during the debate, if you think of, you know, if there's something totally intact, I would appreciate that.
We'll
but I do appreciate the work you've done. And I know there were some things in here, like the temperature thing. I mean, there were unintentional consequences, like what if your air conditioning goes out and you had no control over that. I mean, I think everybody on both sides can say, oh, yeah, we didn't intend that. That's an easy. But if you think of something, and I know that's hard.
The temperature range would still be there. It's currently there today, before Proposition B. It's just not in the criminal codes, which takes a lot of it out there.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Mr. President.
Is any other senator? Senator from the 10th, for which purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Polk.
Do you yield, Senator?
Yes, I do.
Proceed.
Excellent. Good afternoon, Senator.
Senator.
I want to echo the senator from the 7th and her comments, thanking you for the amount of time that you've put in on this, because you have. And, I mean, the first time that you and I met, I think, was in Kansas City, and that was one of the first thing we discussed back last fall. And I appreciate the input that you've taken from all of us. I really do like the provisions in here where we're going after the unlicensed breeders, because that's something that we have done a very poor job of in this state. And I think most people can agree that for those folks who are following the rules and they are licensed breeders, we applaud them and we appreciate what they do for Missouri's economy. It's the unlicensed folks, it's the folks who can't follow the rules that we really want to go after. To that end, I've circulated an amendment, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you about the specific amendment. Some folks have had a chance to look at it, and I'm hearing that they think it might be a good idea, but I just wanted to tell you about it briefly before I offered it. Senator, what it is in relation to page 8, where you talk about whenever the state veterinarian or state animal welfare official finds past violations, and it allows the attorney general or the county prosecutor or circuit attorney to bring an action. All I did was offer an amendment, or I'm going to offer an amendment on the end that says that a request from the director is not a prerequisite for that action. That nothing in this subsection says will prevent an attorney general, a county prosecuting attorney, or a circuit attorney from bringing an action under this subsection on his or her own. So all I'm trying to say, and I'm going to let you have a chance to read it, and I don't expect us to vote on it until we fully vet the idea, but but what I'm saying is that we don't want to have to. I don't want there have to be a trigger that the director has to request that action take place. I'd like the county attorney to be able to bring that on his or her own.
Good point, but they currently would be able to do that.
Are they currently able to do that?
Under the Animal Abuse and Animal Neglect statute.
So what exactly then does this? How does Section 273.347 add to our existing laws then?
You're allowing the Department of Agriculture to have those criminal process where you normally don't allow that to happen. You're actually giving them authority to go to the Attorney General directly.
Okay.
And now they wouldn't have that.
So
under the criminal violations of it.
Okay. Would you mind taking a look at this and see if you are okay with kind of, I get nervous when I see something that, I just am afraid, I don't want any court to interpret that.
You know what, I don't have a problem, I don't believe with what you're trying to do, I'm just not for sure at this point without knowing it or studying it whether we'd be doing the right thing by putting it in there.
Okay.
I guess what I'm saying, I think the counties, I know the county, like a county sheriff or county prosecutor would have those abilities right now. We still have the animal abuse and animal neglect codes in the state of Missouri also.
Sure.
This is just addition to that.
And right now, can the attorney general, without an order from the director, if this were to pass, can the attorney general launch an investigation without it?
The attorney general's chief law enforcement officer in the state. He can initiate an investigation.
Would you mind if I go ahead and offer this amendment and we could discuss it a little bit further so that I have the assurance that I need? I'm afraid that we're leaving something out of this, and so I just would like to have the chance to discuss that, and I wanted to give you the heads up on it.
Be fine, Senator.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
I have an amendment.
Senator, before you pass that amendment out, can I point out to the body that there is a copy of the Senate substitute being handed out. It is not different than the previous one at all. It only includes the line numbers which were missing from before. Senator, please send your amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request a waiver of the reading. This amendment has been distributed.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of this amendment. To explain the amendment to the body, this is 0.05S. This would simply be added to the end of the paragraph. And as the President just pointed out, the substitute that we have on the floor right now does not have line numbers. The substitute that's being distributed right now does have line numbers. And the line that I'm looking to affix this to is line number 22. It's my opinion that right now, the way we have 273.347 worded, that it would take the direction of the ag director to request the attorney general or county prosecuting attorney or circuit attorney to get involved in this investigation. I just wanted to put a clarifying statement that I think the senator from Polk would say is already in law, and so this will clarify existing law, that a request from the director is not a prerequisite for action under this subsection, and nothing in this subsection shall prevent the attorney general, a county prosecuting attorney, or circuit attorney from bringing an action under this subsection on his or her own. I just want to make sure that we aren't creating a new law that would prevent kind of sua sponte action on behalf of those parties. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator from the 10th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 1. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Polk.
President, speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
As much as I hate to say, I'm probably going to speak against this simply because it's probably what I think what the senator is trying to do is probably okay in the concept of it, but I don't know without going through research and without the laws, I don't know that we're doing something that's already there. I don't know what that does to the bill as a whole by putting something in there that's probably not proper to be put in there. I don't agree with what you're trying to do at all. Matter of fact, I'm okay, but I just don't know the legalities of putting that in there at this point without researching it, without attorney generals. Are we really doing something, or is that already there? If it is, then we don't need it. You know, and I don't know that by muddying the water, I guess, for better terms, is that the thing to do? So I guess my point of it is that I'd probably speak against the amendment at this point, simply because I just don't know whether it fits or it doesn't fit.
Senator from the 10th, further discussion?
May I inquire of the Senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Sorry, Senator, I don't think we were officially in an inquiry, so I couldn't talk to you until I got that official leave of the President. I guess my request to you is, could we either, and I hate to ask this because I know that we don't like to use this lightly, could we either stand at ease or lay the bill over while we work this out? Because my concern, I think, is just the opposite, that maybe by not including this language, we may be excluding things that are under existing law. So if we could just get some clarification, or the senator from the 11th has suggested that I could inquire of him, and we could talk for a minute while maybe you could discuss with the Senate research to make sure that we're not doing anything to undo existing law, and that I have the comfort level that I need that we're not creating any new law that is less strict than what we already have, and then we can all be happy.
I'm probably okay with that, Senator, but which senator you say is going to inquire? Because I'm landlocked, if you were certain on which one you.
Okay, well, apparently there are some senators that want to inquire that can take up time that will not landlock you if you leave now. With that, I will end our inquiry, and I would ask, Senator, that you skedaddle, because it looks like there are two people that are getting ready to talk that might lock you in.
Senator from Mercer, what purpose do you rise?
What order of business is pending?
Senator, we are on Senate Amendment number 1, offered by the Senator from the 10th.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to inquire the Senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Senator, we were briefly talking back here about the irony that the senator from Johnson, the senator who has broken more rules in this body than any member that I know, is now teaching the new members on the dais.
I know. It is. This body never ceases to amaze me, the great ironies that occur every day.
In fact, if I remember right, I read that in a journal somewhere, in the journal, the official record of the Senate.
You know, earlier today when I was presiding, he was back here.
Oh, talking so loud I couldn't even hear what was going on.
He was really loud, and I wanted to bring the gavel down and say, will the previously admonished Senator from Johnson keep his conversation down?
Previous,
so I cut him a little slack, and here we go. You know, the teacher now of the Senator from Cole on how to preside when he himself has broken so many rules it's hard to keep.
I'm worried about it. And you know, the other day he was up there presiding, and I was standing here trying to get his attention, and I know he's been having some hearing issues in the left ear, and occasionally that left eye doesn't always work real well. But
well, and what's interesting too is I know Ms. Spieler has grown tired of many of his antics, including the sending of mascots forward. Does the senator from Cole, Lincoln University, what's the Lincoln University mascot?
I don't know. That's a wonderful question.
I have great concern for Ms. Spieler and her health if we have another senator sending mascots forward with bills and amendments. So I just think it's something we need to keep our eye on. He's a great friend and a master rule breaker. And he's now up on the dais teaching people.
Well, I mean, as we've talked about, one of the things that's so important about this body is the decorum. It's the process. It's one of the few bodies left in the nation where we literally debate, deliberate, and ultimately decide. I think it's so important that we do everything possible to protect the decorum of this body. And I just worry that if the new mentor is the one person who has publicly been stepped.
Admonished.
Well, I mean, that's right. That's what happened.
Let's call it for what it is.
It's a fact. You're right.
He was admonished, which is a rare occurrence in this body.
In my 5 years here, I've never seen it before.
It is disturbing.
Senator, I appreciate your inquiry.
You.
I think that our friends around us have moved or are about ready to move on. And so with that, I will end my inquiry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, for all the good work that you continue to do for the citizens of Cole.
Thank you, Senator from Nottoway. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Polk, which person purpose do you rise? Senator from 10th, I'm sorry, which purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would, actually, may I inquire of the Senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. With that brief break, I was able to get the legal assurances from our crack legal staff and from the veterinary folks and the legal minds in this body that if I were to read the bill in its entirety, that the original jurisdiction that I was concerned about is contained on page 9 under section 3. I'm confident that it does not require the director of ag to pull in those folks, that they can do that on their own when violations are present. And so I'm going to be withdrawing my amendment.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Mr. President?
Senator from the 10th?
Will you please send my amendment back?
Madam Secretary, please send the amendment back.
Okay. And you might say now we're on the Senate substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard?
We are on the Senate substitute. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Howe, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I want to thank you for bringing this forward, you know, and your work on it. You know, the district I represent, this is a very vital and important industry. I'll give you an example. We had a discussion. As you know, there's been a lot of people up here trying to stop the changes to this and basically put a lot of hardworking Missourians just out of business. And I relayed to her a story that is a true story, as it happens to be my neighbor, that they're heavily involved in the dairy industry. And as you know, the dairy industry has ups and downs, and they were trying to figure out a way to supplement their income. And they love dogs and raising dogs. So they turned around and made a $50,000 investment in a quality kennel. And, you know, the banks in our area are still require down payment. You know, did you know you just can't walk in and borrow the full amount? You have to require a down payment, and they put about $15,000 of their own money into it and borrowed $50,000 to build a facility. A quality facility, and it was drawn up and approved by, you know, Department of Ag and USDA because they want to do things right and have a quality kennel. They currently owe $32,000 on the kennel. Well, in all of our great knowledge across the state, we basically are putting them out of business, and they're not going to be able to service the debt on the investment they've made. And I explained it to the lady, and she said, well, they're just going to have to find another line of work. You know, I thought this was America. You know, I thought this was a country where if you wanted to invest in something and build it, you are free to do that. So, you know, that's the, you know, these are the people that you know, we don't like what you're doing, so we're just going to put you out of business. But, you know, and in reality, they did everything they were supposed to do, raising a quality product, and have never had a problem, never been raided, and I've went over and seen their puppies, and their nice, taken well care of, the parvo shots, they follow a veterinary plan, they're doing everything right, and I believe it's intended consequences of this legislation, it's going to put them out of business. And in fear of losing their entire farm because they have a $35,000 building that is worthless now, that they owe on. You know, they paid almost $65,000 for all the nice kennels and the concrete floors and the whelping houses and things like that. So these are the people that this legislation is putting out of business, people that are actually doing it right. Now, on farther down the road, there is where the real problem is basically dog hoarding, where there was an elderly lady lived in a trailer house, and she took on every dog. You know, and it kind of got to be known around the neighborhood, if you didn't want a dog or somebody dumped a dog off on you, take it over there and dump it because she'll take care of it. Well, she was raided, I think, about a year ago, and many of those animals taken away, and law enforcement didn't even know she existed because she wasn't licensed, she wasn't inspected, And I think that's what a lot of people that voted on this issue felt this addressed, and it doesn't. Those people will still exist. Those people will still be out there hoarding animals, and this legislation doesn't touch that at all. So I want to commend you for the work that you did on it. Now I have a small question. Is I've noticed that you increased the fee from range of 100 to 2,500. What is the purpose of the increase of the fee that could go up to $2,500?
What that money is used for, and that was an agreement with the breeders themselves, is to help with the enforcement in the state of Missouri to help with that industry and to go after the bad operators.
So they're okay with this?
Yes, they are.
Because that is quite an increase from, you know, a $2,000 increase in a fee. Is some of that money designated to?
Right. The fee is basically per dog. It's $1 a dog, is what it is. It can go up to that amount.
Okay. So a licensed kennel does not automatically pay a $2,500 fee.
Depending on what the quantity is they ship out.
If I'm going to put in a kennel, it starts out that I pay $100 fee plus $1 a dog. That right. Kind of like I see the gentleman, the senator there shaking his head. It's kind of like the beef checkoff.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know about that one.
Do we know where is that fee in this legislation? Is it guaranteed to go to the breeder program, or is it just money that will go to Department of Ag?
Senator.
Because I don't want that dog breed money to go to Department of Ag to fund an ethanol program.
I understand what you're saying, Senator. It would go to the Department of Ag, and it would go for that provisions. I believe they will use it for those provisions, what it's meant for. But I understand your point.
Do you trust them? You know, if the breeders are all right with it, you know, I still think that's a lot of money or everything else. But is there safeguards to make sure that that money does actually go and stays right in that fund that will make sure that it is for the betterment of the breeders around the state? And
Senator, I think there was a strong message put out by the voters of this state that something needs to be done in this arena to the bad operators. I do believe that. And I believe for the most part, everybody in here wants to do something against those bad operators. So this is one tool in the toolbox. I have to have the confidence right now that they're going to do that. Whether they do or not, I guess that's a battle for me to fight next year. But I truly believe right now that they understand how important this issue is to the state of Missouri. And I think the money will go to try to go after bad operators. I do. So.
Okay. I don't know if you need to do this legislatively or not, but maybe if you work with appropriations of having the fee come into a designated fund and then the money from that fund, make sure it goes to that, because I'm afraid what will happen, a lot of these funds may go into other areas, you know, some of them that has nothing to do with dog breeding. So maybe as you work through this and I ponder it, this legislation will go to the other body. Maybe if those questions aren't answered,
right,
then maybe we can make sure that this money raised will go to dog breeders.
I would be open to that, Senator.
All right. Thank you very much.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the Senate substitute? Senator from the 10th, for which purposes do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment has been distributed, so I would request a waiver of its reading.
See you in opposition. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for adoption of this amendment for the body's information. This is point 04S, and this basically says that we will put this bill to the vote of the people in November of 2012. It's my opinion that the people of Missouri were the ones who put this on the ballot. The people of the Missouri were the ones who voted for it. And if we're going to change that, I would like the people of Missouri to be able to have the opportunity to vote for that. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator from 10th moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Polk, which purpose do you rise?
Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
I'm afraid I would have to strongly disagree with this one.
on this amendment that's out on the floor right now. I don't think there's no need for this. I don't know that think there's any need for the state of Missouri to be out that kind of expense, nor do I believe that that is our proper function in this body. I think we can fix this. We can fix it today, and this can go into effect without going back to the people for another vote. But I would strongly oppose this amendment that's on the floor at this time.
Senator from Green, for which purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Didn't realize you were going to offer this. It's similar to an amendment that I had drafted. I think it's about a year different.
Well, I'd be happy to talk about that.
Well, I wanted to ask you if that was the only difference. As I look at it, it appears to be it would be November of 2012, correct?
Yes.
Okay. My concern with that is that the proposition as it was voted on this last fall would already be in effect by the time. So we would have the potential of some of these good breeders, the folks that are out there earning a living and doing it the right way, would be potentially put out of business. Did you consider that when you had the it drafted? I'm just concerned about the time frame.
Sure. You know, that's a really good point. And Senator, what you know, when I asked for this amendment, because I do think that the people of Missouri should have the ability to weigh in on this. And you know, my first thought was, well, if we do it a year from November, then we've got a year to actually see whether these regulations work, whether they don't work. But your point is a valid one. If we are having regulations that are going to substantially change the way that the licensed breeders are doing business and could cause them a significant amount of income, frankly, and expense to make those changes, I think it probably makes more sense for us to have the people speak before they have to make those changes. That's a really good point. I'd be really open to a different amendment. What is yours?
Well, let me, I'll tell you what I had
Sure.
drafted, but I'm actually not going to offer that amendment today, and I'll be happy to discuss with you why. But my concern, again, is that we would be holding up folks that are, they're doing it the right way. They're following,
Yeah.
I think, what the voters would like to see happen, the will and the intent of the what was behind the what was it, 51.6 or 51.7% statewide, which pretty close pretty closely mirrors the outcome in the district that I represent. Those voters would like to see the good breeders continue to be able to do business and earn an honest living.
Sure.
The concern really was with the ones that are out there abusing the animals, and the things that we saw in some of the ads and the 30-second sound bites. So,
well, Senator,
that was my main concern, is that we're waiting. I wanted to essentially know what the difference was between yours and the one that I had drafted.
Senator, I know this is your inquiry, but if you wouldn't mind, can I ask you what the one you had drafted, when was the referendum scheduled?
Sure, I'll tell you what I had, and like I say, I'm not going to offer mine, but it would have been August of this year. And I realize that that is a bit of a concern because of cost. There's not actually an election planned for August. But my concern, I think, was similar to yours in that because this came so quickly to us, and I'll be the first to tell you right here, I don't agree with a lot of the things that were in Prop B, because many of them, as the senator from Polk pointed out, belong in the Code of State Regulations as opposed to the statutes. And that was my primary concern, and so I thought, sending it to a vote would make sense. However, I have some additional concerns, and we can talk about that later. I realize we're talking about your amendment at this point. But I also understand that, there's a lot of things we have to think about, and at the end of the day, we have to base our decisions, and I believe that the members of this august body do, on what is right, not necessarily what is popular. And although Prop B did pass by almost 51% in my district, I do, as I said, have some concerns with it. But I respect the will, and I respect the intent of the people. I also recognize that we don't live in a democracy. We live in a representative democracy. There's a big difference. And so that's why I had my amendment drafted, but again, I realize we're talking about yours. I'm not inclined to support it because of the initial concern that I raised, which would be,
sure.
Again, it would be almost a year after original proposition had gone into place without any changes, which could be very detrimental to the good breeders.
Senator, I really appreciate you inquiring of me because I had talked about this issue with some folks, and in my mind it made sense to do it a year out so that we could decide whether the things that we proposed in Prop B were actually all that bad. But I do agree that for those folks whose livelihood is resting on this legislation, that I don't want to put them in jeopardy, especially the ones who are following the rules. I do think, though, that if we're going to alter something that through direct democracy was put on the ballot, and that whether it was by 75% or 51%, the people of Missouri spoke. They said their will. I would like them the opportunity to give an up or down vote on that as well. So I'm sorry to do this to you, but if I could have a, never mind, I think I have it, a substitute amendment, I am going to, amendment to the amendment. Senator, I know this is your inquiry, but I think what I'm going to do is offer an amendment to the amendment. Mr. President?
Senator from the 10th?
I have an amendment to the amendment.
Please send the amendment forward.
Mr. President, it has not been distributed. It is short and may be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1 offered by Senator Justice to amend Senate Amendment 2 to Senate... To amend Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 113 and 95, page 1, section B, line 10, by striking, quote, 2012, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof, quote, 2011, close quote.
Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
I would move for the adoption of the amendment to the amendment, and to explain, I've moved it up a year. I agree with the senator from Green that there are a lot of folks whose livelihood is resting on the outcome of this legislation. I do believe that the people of the state of Missouri have spoken. I want to give them the opportunity to weigh in on the changes that we're making here today, but I do respect the fact that they shouldn't have to make those changes only to be subject to additional changes a year later, so I've moved it up to 2011. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does any other senator wish to comment on Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1? Senator from Saline, for which purpose do you rise?
Require the Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, you yield? Proceed.
Hi, Senator.
Hi, Senator.
Tell me, Senator, did you ever write the perfect bill?
Yes, I have written the perfect bill.
And it went through the hearing process and went through public scrutiny,
yes.
And was never changed.
A transient sales tax, guest tax for the city of Grandview. It was the perfect bill. It took several years to get it passed, but it was the perfect bill.
Okay. Senator, what I guess, you know, we talk about a will of the people, and I don't think there's any question that the citizens of Missouri looked at this industry and say, you know, I need to make some, I really think there ought to be some changes. But the quandary they had was either you vote no, which no changes, or you vote yes. They didn't have an opportunity, and I would submit that most people did not read the bill. I think they read the summary, they saw the commercials, and did not read the whole bill. In fact, I know some folks in this room that didn't read the whole bill. And so what I think that the senator from Polk has done a really good job of trying to take the interests of both sides and do the best he could to address the concerns people saw and still not kill the industry. And I think one of the things we all need to remember is there's a demand out there for puppies. And if we put the legitimate dealer out of business, all we do is force that into an underground economy and where we have no regulation. And a lot of what I hear are of concern is, number one, is people hoarding and not taking care of animals. And number two, people, quite frankly, the consumers are buying them out of flea markets. They're buying off the internet. They're bypassing the quality dealer, the quality breeder, and they're the ones funding the folks that are not licensed. And so I think it's, you know, I think Prop B did not have the luxury of public comment. And, you know, I think I write good legislation, and then I put it out in a hearing, and I understand maybe I didn't think of this or I didn't think of that. And I think that's what this bill has lacked before it went on the initiative petition, but has had the opportunity to with what the senator from Polk's done. He spent a lot of hours trying to balance that. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's easy to write about not following the public will, but the truth of the matter is the public didn't have an opportunity to put input before, you know, it was written, and it was either a yes or no answer.
Well, Senator, I would tend to agree with a lot of what you said. I mean, I absolutely, and you know,
Senator, it was a perfect statement. You know, that's the way.
Exactly. And, you know, last year, I think there was a lot of misinformation that was out there, and people thought that I was trying to kill HJR 86 or whatever it was because of this puppy mill issue. And I've made it very clear that I was trying to kill that bill because, not because I hate the agriculture industry or anything else, but because I think that we were trying to carve out a protection and say that the people of the state of Missouri cannot petition their government on the narrow issue of animal agriculture. And as I explained to you and I explained to Bonnie then, I think that we should make it harder in general to change laws in Missouri through direct democracy. I think that we are walking down a path right now where it is too easy for well-funded organizations to come in and buy a law. And that's why I stood against that. And I think that you are hitting something on the head. We have a problem when it is this simple to change a law, because you will have folks out there who don't know exactly what they're voting on, and then the war is held in the 30-second soundbite. I mean, it happens. And so that's a danger that I want to try to talk about last year, and I know this isn't the place for us to talk about it this year, but the reality is that the people of Missouri did have the opportunity to see, to vote on this and to give their public input, and their public input was they passed it. And so all I'm saying is that if we're going to change what they did last year, then we should put it to a vote of the people. The legislature has not shied away in the past of putting entire industries out of business. I mean, they just haven't. I mean, last year we put the adult industry out of business in this state, and we did it with only a couple of dissenting voices. And so if we're going to start having that conversation, I think we need to be honest about, you know, exactly what types of industries we want to protect. And so Senator, I agree with everything you said about the senator from Polk. I have been incredibly excited about the changes that he's put into this. This is frankly the last issue that I want to bring up, and then I'm done. I'm sitting down. I'm through talking. I would like the opportunity for the people of the state of Missouri to have a vote on this and make sure this time that they really knew what they were voting on.
Senator, I'm going to sit down, too. I will point out one thing, that Prop B had a positive, was supported by 90% of the people in February of last year. The proponents spent $4.5 million, and it barely passed, with very little opposition spent. So, I mean, that tells me when people found out what was in the bill, they didn't like it.
And so they did find out what was in the bill, and it still passed, though.
Another week, and it wouldn't have passed. So, anyway.
Senator.
I mean, if this was the perfect bill, and it started out with 90% approval rating, and you spend $4.5 million supporting it, it would seem to me that you ought to at least, either you wasted your money or you at least ought to be up above 90% and not at 51%. So, but thank you, Senator.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Senator from Howell, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I think that this is a 2011 is a non-election year. Is that, if I can recollect clearly. So this would be a standalone issue on the ballot?
I think it would be.
Okay. So in other words, this is about a $7 million amendment because I believe in fiscal review, the fiscal notes that we look at are based on how much it would cost to do the election. So this would fall under the category that this would be the only election held or a thing to be voted on at that time. So the state of Missouri would be required to pay for all of it. So basically, this is a $7 million amendment that you're proposing here. Is that correct?
You know, I'm going to have to take your word on that, Senator. I don't know how much it costs to put something on the ballot.
Yeah, it's true. Well, there that's what the fiscal note says. Around $7 million. So basically, I can understand, your zeal, but this, you know, in a time of budget cuts and, you know, when we're not funding higher ed, it took a 7% cut. We're not funding a lot of the programs. You know, we just don't have $7 million. And this is an issue that we can put to rest right here. That's what we're paid for. Won't be any additional cost to the state. And I just wanted to throw that in there.
And I'm respectful of that, and I think that's why I originally thought, let's put it on the November 2012, because we know we're going to have an election then. But then I'm also mindful to the folks that are out there in this industry right now, and I'm sure they'd like some peace of mind that they aren't going to have to operate under two different standards. And so that's why I put it. And, you know, Senator, I understand all of those issues, and I just want an up or down vote from this body on whether they want to send it back to the people. If they don't want to, then we won't do it. But I just like the opportunity to have that.
Oh, wait, $7 million would hire a lot of USDA or Missouri inspectors to go around and inspect dog kennels.
$7 million would do a lot of things
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Green, for which purpose do you rise?
Speak on the amendment.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I feel compelled to rise and speak on the amendment because, as I was mentioning in my inquiry with the senator from the 10th, I had an amendment that was drafted this morning fairly similar to her substitute. However, I did decide as I came in the chamber this afternoon not to offer that amendment, and was going to explain why. Aside from the points that have been raised by the senator from Howell with the cost nature of having it in August of 2011, or as the substitute reads, in November of 2011, I also am concerned, as I pointed out, the district that I represent did pass Proposition B by almost 51%. But we are required to come and review the statutes each year and make changes as we see necessary. And as I began to discuss the amendment with a number of folks, there was a concern that some national organization had brought the amendment to me, which is just simply not the case. I know, every member of this body is very concerned with the will of the people. That's why we're here. And, of course, every 4 years, that will is made very clear in elections that are held across our great state. However, I do not wish to be associated at all with the national organization that has been making calls into my district and, quite frankly, telling my constituents things that are just simply not true. And for that reason, I decided not to offer the amendment, to make it very clear that I find it distasteful that my constituents would be lied to and that I somehow was part of the effort to repeal Proposition B or be part of an effort to do so. And those that I talked to were quite concerned that when they found out that the facts were different from what they were told. So for that reason, and that reason alone, I decided to not offer the amendment, and I, for that reason, felt compelled to make the statement and thereby also speak on this amendment. So I would oppose the amendment with great respect for the senator from the 10th and with deep appreciation for the senator from Polk and the months that he has spent trying to work out a compromise and do what is right for everyone involved. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1? Seeing none, the senator from the 10th is recognized to close on her amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. 18 members of this body live in senatorial districts that passed Proposition B last year. Three of us live in districts where it passed with 50.9% to 58.8%. Seven of us live in districts that passed it in the 60s, and eight of us live in districts where it passed by over 70%. My district, 75.9% of the people who voted said they supported Proposition B. I have confidence that the voters knew what they were voting on. I think there was a lot of education on both sides of the issue. Like the senator from Green, I've been discouraged by both sides of this issue and the misinformation that has been out there. I think both sides have done a poor job, but I think that our voters are smart enough to sort through that, and I think that they made a decision at the polls. And if we are going to change their decision before we even enact the provisions, before they even go into effect and we can see what the result is, I think that the people of Missouri have the right to vote on it again. And so with that, Mr. President, I would renew my motion.
The senator from the 10th renews her motion that Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1 on Senate Bill number 113 and 95 be adopted. As many are of the opinion that motion so shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. Senator from Polk. The amendment is defeated. Senator from the 10th. We're on Senate Amendment 1, as amended. It did not get amendment. We're on Senate Amendment 1.
I renew my motion.
The senator from the 10th renews her motion that Senate Amendment number 1 to Senate Bill 113 and 95 be adopted. As many... Does any dissenter desire to be heard? The senator from the 13th, for what reason do you stand? Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Had 13 pair in your poll.
Oh, had 13 pair? That's a good question. And by the way, I'd like to point out to the body while I'm looking for 13 that this amendment will not cost $7 million. This one's a freebie. Senator from the 13th, 73.3% of your voters voted in favor of Proposition B.
Okay, I just wanted to know. Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on Senate Amendment number 1? Senator from Jefferson.
To inquire, Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, you yield?
I do.
How about
proceed.
Jefferson County?
Jefferson County. I'm going to have to get some reading glasses. Okay, 60.7%.
Not quite up to what they passed the minimum wage, but close.
Close.
But thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard? Senator from Howell, for what reason do you rise?
To just speak on the bill.
Proceed.
You know, we almost act like in this body we've never done this before, but when you look back on history of a few of us that have been here for a long time, let's go way back to 1998, several years ago, but there was a Proposition A on the ballot that was passed by a ballot referendum that made certain changes. And guess what? We in this body had to, when I was in the body over yonder, had to come back and fix it. You know, if you look at the issue of chicken skirmishing, as some people call cockfighting in the area, there was a Prop A will outlaw cockfighting and bear wrestling in Missouri. So in all the greatness of the wisdom of the people across the state, they put on a ballot to stop the practice of chicken skirmishing, you know, across the state, and bear wrestling. I really have no idea why anybody would wrestle a bear, but Prop A outlaws, and in that legislation it said baiting. And if you think about it, it's I'm looking back on an old Capitol report that we did in 1998, but Prop A outlaws baiting, which is defines as to attack, provoke, or harass an animal with one or more animals for the purpose of training an animal for or to cause an animal to engage in fights with other animals for the purpose of amusement, entertainment, wagering, or gain. Well, that sounds good, but an American Heritage Dictionary defines baiting as to place bait in a trap or on a fishing hook. So basically, we had to come back and fix that you could still put worms on a hook, or minnows on a hook. Now, because it was a vertebra, so there was some difference between the proposition defines animal as every living vertebra except a human being. So we're back here again because this Prop B applies to every animal, even though that's not what it was intended. But then Prop A said that defines animal as every living vertebra except a human being. Some are interpreting this to mean that the use of worms, which are in invertebrates, would be allowed, but minnows, for example, would be included in the definition and would be outlawed. So an unintended consequence is we outlawed putting minnows on hooks because that fell under the baiting area. And then also I remember the big upcry was another area of concern is rodeos. Prop A exempts rodeo practices, which are currently sanctioned by the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. Because of the word currently, there is a concern that all new PRCA-sanctioned rodeo events would not be allowed in Missouri. Furthermore, there is a question about the possible impact on the hundreds of local rodeos which are held all over Missouri which are not PRCA-sanctioned. For example, would United Rodeo Association rodeos be outlawed if the proposition passes? So we've been here before. We've fixed these problems before. People that work hard every day aren't necessarily in tune to the legislative process, and things get passed that we have to come back in and clean up. Precedence has been set. We cleaned up after Proposition A, and the problem, even though chicken skirmishing is still outlawed, you know, we fixed it. So this Prop B is simply the same, where the people in the state planted a course for our direction. And we in the legislature made the needed changes to be made to keep this viable industry viable and to make sure that we're producing a quality product. So with that, Mr. President, I thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any other senator wish to be heard on Senate Amendment 1? Seeing none, does the senator from the 10th is recognized to close on her amendment?
I close.
The senator from the 10th has renewed her motion that Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Bill 113 and 95 be adopted. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. Senator from Polk, the amendment is defeated.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate substitute.
Senator from the 4th, which purpose do you rise?
To inquire the Senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Just a few brief questions I'd like you to walk me through with me.
Sure.
On page 3, I should preface this. I think I'm the second highest district voted in favor of Prop B. I think I'm about almost 80%.
A substitute, Senator.
The substitute, yes. So although I did come in on a special, I was the only candidate. I think more people voted for Prop B than voted for me. Section 5, subsection 1, this is one of the issues that I keep getting questions on. Adequate rest between breeding cycles. And I've seen that we've deleted no more than 2 litters in any 18-month period, and we're putting in then is what is recommended by a licensed veterinarian as appropriate for the species. Do
Correct.
We know that?
What's that?
Do we know that? Do we know what is the recommended appropriate? Well,
they would be different on each species. I mean, they could be different. That's why a vet would should be the one probably discussing when that would be allowed and when it wouldn't be. Is that what you're asking me, is why the time limit?
That's what I'm asking. Is there a chart that says, how's the vet going
to
know?
Well, I think that's where you go back to the Rules and Regulations Department of Ag or USDA, or the vets have that ability to make that call. That's why I think that's, that particular deal is very hard to put in statutory or criminal law, which that's another one of those deals that, my opinion, should be regulated, and we should use the vet's opinion on whether he thinks what that timing is, no matter whether it's more or less. I think the vet should be making that call. I think he's more qualified to make it than anybody else.
So if we have a half a dozen vets in the same county, they may not all have the same period? How do we tell who's telling the truth and who's not? Or who's right and who's wrong? I shouldn't say who's telling
the truth. Well, and that argument has come up plenty of times during this discussion about whether you have a crooked vet, whether you got a good vet, there's a vet.
I don't even want to go there.
Well, I mean, but that's where you're headed down that road. The same thing about a doctor. The doctor you go see, is he a good doctor, a bad doctor? You have to, I believe that most veterinarians that I know truly believe in what they do. They believe in the care of animals, and they're licensed to do that.
I would agree with that.
So I want to believe that, I guess. So I'm going to defer to their expertise because that is the arena they belong in. I think you've got the Department of Ag there to also help oversee that. I think you've got the USDA there to help oversee that. And that's where I feel like why that change needed to be made.
All right. Same section, number 6. This has got me scratching my head on this one. You've got to explain this to me. The regular exercise means, and then we're taking out constant and unfettered access to outdoor exercise area that is composed of a solid ground level surface with adequate drainage and on and on. But we're putting in the type and amount of exercise sufficient to comply with an exercise plan, which I don't know who comes up with the plan, that has been proved by a licensed veterinarian.
Correct.
Which this is that's a discussion we just had.
Right.
Developed in accordance with regulations regarding exercise promulgated by the Missouri Department of Agriculture. Do they have regulations for that?
They do.
And where such plan affords the dog maximum opportunity for outdoor exercise as weather permits. So what's the difference between maximum opportunity for outdoor exercise and unfettered exercise?
Well, I think unfettered, they go out anytime they want to go out and come back anytime they want to come out.
So then maximum doesn't mean maximum? Means almost maximum?
Well, I think if you take a facility that's got like 120 dogs, I don't think it's real feasible to say we're going to let them all out at the same time. I think you'd have to have a plan for that. Is that what you're asking me?
No, but you raised a completely different question now.
Okay. Well, I'll be careful how I answer it on that. Yeah, and you know, the weather would be a factor. You know, if you had a snow like we had not too long ago, you know, I mean, and that's where I say the thing you just said there, like me, I think, okay, well, we know that. You can't let a Yorkie out in 2 foot of snow.
Right.
But if you write that into the criminal statutes, which it was, you would be allowing that the way it was originally in Proposition B. Because then it says they're going to be allowed to do that.
So, but what we're saying is maximum doesn't really mean maximum here, right?
Well, whatever that vet maybe thinks is the maximum. I mean, you know, he's going to make that decision. If you got a female dog and it's pregnant, it's about ready to have pups, I'm sure you're going to be limited to how long you want that dog in or out. Or if you even want it out. I mean, I don't know that. I think, again, that's where your vets come into play in there. And I think that's where you got to have rules and regulations.
And then one last question was about the licensing, the $2,500 per your conversation with the senator from Polk. That's a dollar a dog. Mm-hmm. So when we get to the max, a person hits the max when they get 2,500 dogs. Is that?
He's done.
All dogs? All dogs under the roof? Or, I mean, how do you determine what the $2,500 is? How many dogs
they
sell?
It would be the max he pays. If he had 3,000 or if he sold 3,000 pups or whatever, then the max was $2,500.
So a firm that has 500 dogs, let's say 400 of them are puppies.
Is that what we do? We take the total number of population and charge them a dollar a year? Is that
right.
what it is?
To sell, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know what? Explain to me how we get to the 25. Explain to me how we do the licensing.
Okay, you got $100 to start off with, and it's a dollar for each pup, dollar for each animal that you're selling. Up to, which would be up to 2,400.
Okay.
So you'd be selling 2,400 pups to get to the max.
Again, is it the dogs that we're selling? Is the puppies we're selling? Or is it puppies all the dogs that we own?
Puppies you're selling.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the Senate substitute? Senator from Jefferson County, for which purpose do you rise?
Thank you. To inquire the Senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for all your hard work on this bill. I know it's had to have been a very frustrating thing to have to deal with, and I applaud all your efforts. And like the Senator from Green, I'm going to talk about an amendment that I'm not going to offer too, and one that I showed you. In committee, we heard a lot about the definition of a domesticated animal, and to me, a suburban guy, that always meant a dog or a cat. And I learned in committee, it could be a pig, it could be a chicken. And I had an amendment that was just going to clarify that, that livestock, that a domesticated animal, a pet dog, domestic dog, Canis lupus familiaris, shall not be considered livestock. Can you run down with me why that's already taken care of? And
first of all, Senator, I just want to tell you I appreciate you coming forward with something like that to try to protect the livestock industry in this state,
right?
Because I think that's very important. What we did in the initial Proposition B language, it said pet, there's one sentence, it says pet is referred to a domesticated animal near or around your dwelling. And I took that sentence totally out. So we don't refer to domesticated animals all. Now we're talking
and
about...
And in other areas of statute, it speaks to domesticated animal meaning more than just a dog or
a cat. That's correct. It's not defined in there, and we wanted to make sure for our ag people across this state that they were taken care of. And I appreciate you trying to do what you're doing, but I do believe in the Senate substitute is taken care of.
Here's my take on this issue. Because I was here during... Got here in 99, and... there was an initiative petition, or it was a referendum that former State Representative Wayne Crump had on conceal and carry. My district overwhelmingly approved conceal and carry. The state ultimately didn't. So we came back the next year and we passed it through statute. Former State Representative Frank Barnett, I think, our former colleague here. So I completely understand why those senators in the 109 counties, I guess, that their voters did not approve this issue would feel so strong about it. But my position is, back in 2000, I voted my district, and on this issue, I'm going to stay consistent and do that, but I do applaud your efforts.
Thank you, Senator. I think one thing that we all need to remember at the end of this day or at the end of this vote, the state of Missouri should be united. In the ag industry, whether you're rural or whether you're urban, something like this fractures that for a long time if we don't fix it as legislators. And we have the ability to do that. And I think that's one of these important moments.
And another one of my frustrations, the Department of Ag and the director, since Dr. Hagler has been there, has made tremendous strides at locating the non-licensed breeders.
That's correct.
The problem with what the voters just did and what this bill is going to do is going to be not having enough money to fund the inspectors. Till we fund that through the appropriation process, this is just a Band-Aid on a huge wound. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the Senate substitute? Senator from Lewis County, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, can I inquire the senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Very briefly, I'd like to go over some things. I know it's been talked about the fees that were charged or the increase, and that money does go directly into the inspector's fund that the
correct,
department
correct.
Uses. for their inspections of those facilities. And, you know, I also appreciate the senator from the 22nd in his, since he served on the Ag Committee in his protection of livestock, we might have to get him a pair of boots. But it is good. You know, and I did have an extreme problem with the wording that was in that. I'm glad to see you took it out. There's one thing that's in the substitute that I really want to appreciate you putting in here. And I believe that brings around the a very friendly gun group to being in very much support of this bill. And that's on page 7 on the hunting dogs. It clarifies that issue there for hunting purposes. And I want to thank you for all the hard work you've done with this and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the Senate substitute? Seeing none, does the senator from Polk recognize to close on his substitute?
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate substitute.
The senator from Polk renews his motion that the Senate substitute, Senate Bill 113 and 95, be adopted. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute passes. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 113 and 95 as amended by the Senate substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Senator from Polk has moved to have the Senate bill perfected. He renews his motion that Senate Bill 113 and 95 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many are the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll stay on that calendar, Senate Bill 135.
Senate Bill 135, Senator Boone. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 135 be called from the informal calendar and taken up for perfection, and I do have a substitute.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Send substitute forward.
Thank you. It has been distributed, and I ask that the reading be waived.
Seeing no opposition, proceed.
Thank you. This is a bill that, for the most part, deals with service stations, petroleum storage tank fund. It does a couple of other things as well, and I'll explain the changes between the substitute and the bill. This extends the existence of the Dry Cleaning Environmental Response Trust Fund to August 28, 2017. It also has provisions which we are required by EPA to develop a program which would otherwise be administered through DNR to provide for training for people that work at gas stations in underground storage tank operation. This would allow PSTF through funds that they have. PSTF is the Petroleum Storage Tank Insurance Fund. They would use their own money to basically provide this training that we're required to do rather than having DNR do it and we would have to pay for it. Another thing it does is state and local governments may not use a manufacturer's expiration date on motor fuel measuring devices and dispensing equipment is the only reason to require repair or replacement of that equipment. What you get into, we already right now inspect the equipment at service stations. Some of the manufacturers have started putting expiration dates on some of the equipment. What it establishes is that you couldn't, you can't require replacement simply on the expiration date. There has to be some purpose or show of wear. Requires that automatic volumetric correction devices for measuring fuel at service stations must be by statute, not by rule, and that only the Department of Natural Resources may set Stage 1 and Stage 2 motor fuel vapor recovery fees, and such fees may not be modified by local governments or local enforcement agencies. That is the bill, Mr. President, and I would renew my motion. First of all, I ask that the Senate substitute be adopted.
Does any senator wish to be heard on the Senate substitute? Senator from the 11th.
Mr. President, may I inquire briefly?
Rise. You want to inquire?
May I inquire briefly of the
Senator from Boone? Do you yield?
I sure do.
Proceed.
Senator, I just wanted one last point on your bill. Would
sure.
you just go over briefly the part where it says that the measuring of motor fuel and dispense must in retail sale must be by statute rather than regulation or federal? Would you just kind of explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, it's my understanding some other states have tried to change some of those requirements by rule, and I know that's been an issue with consistency across the board, and so the requirement here would be we would have to do that by statute rather than doing it by rule, so that at least there's some more public discussion and that there's more input on that process.
Okay, so and the regulatory department of the state on that issue would be who?
It'd be Department of Ag.
Department of Ag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Department of Ag is the enforcement agency of this of motor fuels.
I believe on that part. I think that's correct.
On yes. that part, they are. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the Senate substitute? Seeing none, Senator from Boone is recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from Boone has renews his motion that the Senate substitute, the Senate Bill 135, be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Substitute is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 135 is amended by the Senate substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Does any other senator have anything to say on Senate Bill 135? Wish to be heard. Sorry, Ms. Feely. Seeing none, the senator from Boone is recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
The senator from Boone renews his motion that Senate Bill 135 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements, and I would ask that you recognize me for an announcement.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr.
The order of business is announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. For tomorrow, Senate Bill 8, Senate Bill 55, Senate Bill 161, Senate Bill 173, Senate Bill 163, and Senate Bill 63. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements? Seeing none, Senator from the 23rd. No other announcements.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We stand adjourned.
Under the rules.